We good? Well, we have the opening scripture? All right. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. This is a very important verse because it separates religion and tradition from the simplicity of the truth of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll read it out of the Old English, and then I have it in the Amplified, which really brings it much clearer. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Very simple. Christ is the end of the law. The Amplified Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law. It leads to him, and its purpose is fulfilled in him, for granting righteousness to everyone who believes in him as Savior. This is important because so many times when a person gets saved, it isn't long before somebody comes along and says, yeah, but you have to do this. I think of a few denominations that are very profoundly adding to your faith before they consider you saved. One, because I'm going to be held accountable before the Lord if I don't say it, and I'm going to say it because we are to be like watchmen on the watchtower. If there's some funky doctrines going around and you get sucked into them, they can suck the life of Christ straight out of you. One of them, the Seventh-day Adventist, you're not saved. You're going to hell if you go to church on Sunday. That's a very, very, very dangerous doctrine. Because what they do, it's like the Judaizers that started it, even back in the Apostle Paul's day, all these believers were snatched out of the world and saved by the grace of the Lord. And within no time at all, the Jewish people who were opposed to the gospel would try to infiltrate those new believing churches and influence the believers in saying, yeah, that faith thing is fine, but you need to get circumcised. Or they would add something else, and add something else, and add something else. And finally, in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he said, oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Did you get saved by the hearing of faith or by the works of the law? The law was never given for someone to be saved. In fact, the Bible teaches that the law was given and it had a curse to it in the fact that no one could be saved by it. It was a schoolmaster. Read Galatians chapter 3 for a little more reference about that. And as soon as somebody adds a commandment or a law to your faith, it's like leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and it will contaminate the truth and the simplicity of the gospel. People who want to add, there are lots of worldwide Church of God, worldwide denominations that you can't be saved if you don't keep the Ten Commandments. And my question to them is, there's 613 altogether. Which one would you like me to skip to fit your doctrine? This is really serious stuff, and it happens all the time. That's why I'm not religious, but when I got saved, I knew the truth. And no one can ever talk me out of it again. You see, Jesus fulfilled the law's requirements for what righteousness was in God's sight. No one could keep all 613 commandments. And the word says, if you've broken one, you've broken them all. But Jesus Christ was the one who fulfilled the law's requirements for righteousness, right standing with God. So how easy is it when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again, born of the Spirit. Now God has declared you righteous because you heard the word of faith concerning salvation, you heard the truth. Not because there was a law. The law points you as a schoolmaster to Christ. And now, because you're in Christ, God Himself has declared you to be righteous. So, it sounds simple, and it really is. But so many people try hard to be something that you already are. And they try all kinds of stuff. And we're never good enough. Just like there were people before we got saved, no matter what you did, it wasn't good enough. You couldn't make them happy. And it's the same with the law. No matter how many you tried to keep, God was not pleased with that because that wasn't the purpose. The intent of the law was to reveal God's righteousness and to point us to the righteous one that the prophet spoke of that would come. And if you put your faith in Him and His finished work at the cross, God has declared you to be righteous, not because you worked something, but because He did the work at the cross. Because then you get into a works-oriented salvation. You're not saved unless you do this, or this, or this, or this. And people add on all the time. Everybody's got a list. The simplicity of the truth of the gospel is mind-boggling to those who are so wise in their own intellectual levels that it's very difficult for them to accept that. There must be something I have to do. There must be something that... No. It's what He did. That's the work. It's not our works that save us. It was Christ's work at the cross. And that is a very good answer for people who will come to you, even in a conversation, and say, well, I was a good person. I didn't shoot anybody. I didn't rob a bank. And I'm sure God would look favorably upon my life. But what about Christ? See, we all get into conversations about this kind of thing. But this scripture is absolutely crystal clear. When God declares you righteous, who can argue with that? See, that should give you peace about that if you don't already have it. It's already been fulfilled. God's requirement for righteousness. And when you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, that's the work that pleases our Heavenly Father. Because it's His will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And when you get saved, you do come to a knowledge of the truth. And I didn't really like it one day when a guy came over here in the parking lot. He came in here early and wrecked my prayer time on an early Sunday morning. And he came in here stomping like a rooster with his butt on fire, coming in here and telling me, you're going to hell. And I said, what for? Because you're meeting on Sundays. And I looked at him and I said, so what are you doing here? God gives you a quick answer when you really need one. What are you doing here then? He never did come back. But I figured that was probably a good line, because if he came in here and started sowing discord amongst the brethren, that's one of the seven things that God hates. You can read that in Proverbs chapter 6. Those who sow discord among the brethren. So the doctrines of faith are very simple. but they confound the wise. And Paul wrote about that too in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's so simple. I always thought it was like the biggest fairy tale that there ever was. The only thing about it is that it's true. It even has a happy ending. We get to be with the king. Forget the prince, we get to be with the king. That's the royal wedding right there. And you're his bride already. That's good news. Why? Because of what Christ did at the cross. Keep it simple. How many people toil and struggle to be justified? Justified actually is a short word. It means just as if I never sinned. That's you in Christ. That's your brother and sister in Christ. And how far that goes to make all the difference about not being judgmental and critical and have a suspicious spirit about people. Justified is a great word. Sanctified, you've been sanctified. That's not something that's going to happen. All those words work together. Righteousness, justification, sanctification. Sanctification means set apart, made holy. See, don't fall for, well, you have to do this to be holy, but I'm in Christ. I have to do this to be justified, but I'm in Christ. Learn who you are. Learn what he's done for you. That's powerful, and it'll get you through a bad hair day. You'll find it very effective when you start realizing just what he's done for you and what he has made you to be. Those are very, very true from the Word. You've been sanctified. You've been made holy. You've been declared by God to be righteous. Justified, just as if you never sinned. The slate is clean. We talk about that when we have communion, like we did last week as well. Solid truths from the Word. Well, this morning I'd like to continue in our... It's been a rather lengthy and sometimes interrupted mini-seminar, if you will, on the gifts or the manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And perhaps we should go back and just a quick review of those, just basically so that we can continue on, and it might be different things happen in between, but at least we have the foundational scriptures for those. The first 10 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one at the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. And this is really important, because you see that the manifestations that are listed there are birthed or produced by the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm cautious about presenting it as the gifts, because people tend to take that and become possessive of it. I have the gift of something. I have this gift, or I have that gift of something. When it pertains to these are clearly manifestations of the one gift that you do have, and that's the Holy Spirit. And how He chooses to manifest Himself in any of these ways, or all of these ways, depending on the need. Because the Lord is about meeting needs of people, and He chooses how the best way for that to happen is. And you will find as we go through these that it's always about the Spirit, the capital S, the Holy Spirit, not something that we can conjure up or cause to happen. So coming back to the word of knowledge, the word of knowledge pertains to a current situation. Word of wisdom pertains to something in the future. And discerning of spirits is going to be the third one in this section of revelation, the three revelation gifts, if you will, or manifestations. So we've been looking at some examples in the Old Testament. We looked at some in the New. And we'll continue to do that this morning, the book of Acts. Now let's go to John chapter 4 first. Chapter 4. And as you read through the text, when you start seeing these in Scripture, you'll be able to recognize them better for what they are. John chapter 4, it's dealing with the Samaritan woman at the well and some things that Jesus had to say to her. It's a rather lengthy portion, but I don't think for the purposes of illustrating a word of knowledge that it's important to read all of it. But there was a conversation. Jesus came to get a drink, and he asked for some water. In verse 11, the woman said unto him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Someone talked about this morning. Remember that conversation early this morning? How the Word and people's testimonies combine, and we didn't enter into a conspiracy on Thursday to make it happen Sunday morning? See, as you start to see how the Holy Spirit ministers through us, because we're all in this walk together. And I believe it was Tom talked about the water, drawing water. And he didn't know this was the opening scripture either. Not the opening scripture, but one of the ones we were going to look at today. And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, and neither hither to draw." Jesus said unto her, "Go call your husband and come here," or bring him here. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "You have well said, I have no husband." And then he lets her know that he knew some things about her that nobody else knew, and Jesus had no way of knowing it except the Holy Spirit reveal it to him. And this is the word of knowledge that he spoke to her: "For you have had five husbands, and he which you now have is not your husband. In that you said truly." Now listen to those words again, how he spoke into her life. You were right in the fact that you said that you don't have a husband, but you've had five husbands. Man, that would be considered hate speech today if you walked up to somebody and just spoke this something over their lives, in the sense of, that isn't to be out there in the public. But he spoke it to her, and instantly she knew that he knew, and that there was something different about this man, because she didn't know who he was. He was just a guy walking into town and was thirsty and came to the well, and she was there at the well, and then suddenly they had this conversation. You can get water out of the well, but you'll get thirsty again. But if you drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And the woman said unto him in verse 19, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. When Jesus spoke those words to her concerning husbands, she knew that this wasn't just an ordinary stranger that came down the road and stopped in for a drink of water. And that's how the word of knowledge works. It addresses the current situation. Seen it happen lots of times, and as well as many of you that have been in the Pentecostal faith, if you will, for many years, this is not uncommon to see the Holy Spirit tell you something. And the more you're familiar with it, the more you see it in scriptures, the more it's easy to recognize when that happens. It's not about guessing. It's not about speculation. It's not about suspicion. It's not about our personal understanding or our personal knowledge of somebody. It's birthed by the Spirit. And that's why we can't say, oh, I have the gift of a word of knowledge. No, I received that word. But it's not, you can't go around and say that you have a gift of the word of knowledge, because you're taking credit away from who the author of it is. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals to you a word, and now you can receive that word, but the giver is always the Holy Spirit. It's not a person. And Jesus said unto her in verse 21, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And he goes on to talk about true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. But he showed her that he knew her stuff by the Holy Spirit. And how many times has that happened to you? When in a conversation somebody speaks something to you, and it's like they just read your email, or they read your letter, or they read your card. But truthfully, they read your heart. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. A word of knowledge can be very helpful to you. Let's use a medical example. You got a pain in your abdomen, and so you come up for prayer, and Simone or Dr. Summer Matter could do a better presentation of this than me. I'm just kind of a generalizing, but there are a lot of things that could cause that pain. There's a source of it somewhere in your body that's causing that pain. So you guys naturally go put the patient through all kinds of tests to try to eliminate the possibilities of a lot of things until you come to the one thing to confirm before you do anything else. But there's also the possibility that the Holy Spirit would say to you, this is the reason, and be very specific and give you an organ that's malfunctioning, or there's an infection, or there's whatever, but you would know, this is the reason, this is the source of that pain. So there's a natural way of process of elimination of trying to figure out what the cause is, but a word of knowledge, someone who receives that from the Holy Spirit could say, this is what's going on. And it would be an absolute 100% certainty. that that's the real reason. So when you compare how we try to find out by trial and error, the Holy Spirit knows already. That's why whenever there's a crime and the police can't find the perpetrator, the Holy Spirit already knows exactly where the person is. But oftentimes the police will go to a fortune teller or something and bring in the demonic realm, because the devil's never going to tell you anything that's true. He's a liar, he's the father of it, and Jesus said there's no truth in him. But the Holy Spirit will show you. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And that's the difference. There's volumes of books written about these things. And we could spend all the rest of the days and years of our salvation studying them all, because there's always more. But just to show you how important that is, how needful those are. Why did Paul say that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit by it? It's to our benefit. It's to our gain that we have access to these things from our Heavenly Father that didn't come from a human source. You can add that to your repertoire and your ministry tools for you in the way that you minister to people. The next one is something that Peter spoke in the book of Acts, chapter 5. And Jenny, this is interesting that your skit is going to talk about this, because I've had these in my notes for a really long time. We just hadn't got to them yet. So bear with me. This won't be the same as the one you're doing, because I'm going to focus in a different area. But nevertheless, it just shows you that you can't pull a fast one on God. This is the account of Ananias and Sapphira. And how many of you are familiar with that account, where there's some shady dealing going on? And they didn't fool the Lord. Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to do verses 1 through 3. And Jenny has a skit that's going to use a 10-verse portion of the whole thing. But she's not doing it today, right? No, okay. But I want to show you how the word of knowledge got two people killed. Because they had an opportunity to repent after they heard the word, and they blew it off. Because they had done something really, really, really wrong. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And the Lord showed Peter exactly not only that they had lied, but what they lied about and how they had schemed this thing and plotted it even before they showed up for the fellowship meeting. And they ended up carrying them both out dead. End of story. Acts chapter 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession or a piece of land or property, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, here's the word of knowledge. Directly, right, it's right at that moment. That's a now moment. Peter said to him, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I mean, people do real estate transactions all the time. Tom does real estate. Tom, you could put yourself in here, but I hope you don't. Want to keep you at least through next weekend. So if you're going to do this, wait. They sold a piece of property. And they were to, whatever was in their heart, to bring that and offer it to the church, if you will, or to the apostles. But they lied about the amount. And we see it right here. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? In part 2, and to keep back part of the price of the land. So two words, put in the same sentence. Number one, why did you allow the Holy Spirit? I mean, why did you allow Satan to fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit concerning the little agreement that you two made together to cheat God out of something? Actually, they cheated themselves out of a blessing, and they just didn't realize it. They thought this is a good way to make a quick buck, and they plotted together, and Peter saw right through it, or the Holy Spirit in Peter saw right through it. Number one, he knew it was... It's funny how there was an encounter with Jesus and Peter about another time when Peter denied Jesus three times, and it was Satan who caused him to lie about it. And so when you start seeing how words of knowledge work, you begin to recognize them. The word is full of these things. But my point is to draw your attention to it, so in your studying time or your devotions time, as you're reading, these things are going to take on a new meaning. They're going to take on a new depth of understanding when you read portions of Scripture that contain these things, words of knowledge or words of wisdom, so that you recognize it in the Word. This isn't new things that we're talking about. These should be every day to us as believers, to see that the Holy Spirit will give you your words at exactly the right time you have need of them. He may speak it to you directly, or he may speak it through another person. But keep your antennas up when someone says, "I got a word from the Lord for you." And I told you what happened on one of my previous mission trips. I shared that with you the week before last. And it wasn't a true word. And then after that, then I knew. But God gave me peace about going. In spite of that word, I still had peace because there was something about it didn't make any sense. It wasn't definitive like the Spirit will give you. It was very evasive. Something bad's going to happen if you go on your missions trip, followed by this. But I don't know if it means something bad's going to happen to you while you're overseas, or something bad's going to happen to your family while you're overseas. That's a nice thing to hear before you jet off halfway around the world. So that's why these things are important. When we talk about them, and you can come to the Scriptures and see how exact and accurate a word of knowledge is. It's not a haphazard conversation. This is the deal. And when Jenny has her skit all put together, I don't know if we'll see it live, or you're doing just a video this time? Yeah? Okay. You're going to see how this will play out in real life. So she'll do part two, but not yet. But I just wanted you to see that, how, what happened. Because you see, they had an opportunity to repent and say, "Oh my, yes, that's true. Please forgive us and make it right and do the right thing." But they didn't. A word of knowledge always will address an ongoing thing. And the Holy Spirit is so gracious that he never publicly embarrasses anyone. He never shames anyone. He never degrades anyone. He gives you a word so that we have the opportunity to respond to it. And it's always between us and the Lord to make those things right. And next week, perhaps, we will talk about discerning of spirits. Some wonderful examples in Scripture, because you can't just wing it, and just, you can be more effective in ministry if you know an exact spirit that you're dealing with. Otherwise, you can really make a big mistake and get thrashed rather badly. to put it rightly so. Does anyone want prayer this morning? We always like to have a few minutes to pray for each other or those that have needs.